This is Burr Deming, along with our virtual fictitious assistant,
that would be me,
at fairandunbalanced.com, in association with Mad Mike's America, discussing nuclear Iran and a fevered United States Senate. The persistent economic misery generated by the conservative policies of the European Union makes me glad that President Obama has resisted those policies here.
Deficits are a very good policy during hard times. They should be paid back during times of prosperity.
Deficit hawks on the other side of the Atlantic have not only devastated much of Europe, they have produced massive ironies, along with the monstrous deficits they thought they were avoiding. But the origins of the European Union does provide another lesson in history and an insight into nuclear negotiations with Iran. In 1992, as President George H.W. Bush fought what would become a losing battle against Bill Clinton, the Prime Minister of Great Britain fought members of his own party. Unpopular is a word that does not do his situation justice.
His constituents did not want to vote against conservatives. They wanted to throw rocks at them.
John Major introduced a measure that most British voters tenuously supported. He wanted to negotiate terms by which his country would join a new European Union. A dozen vulnerable economies would unite to become a strong base. The treaty had been negotiated and then amended as new members joined in Maastricht, Netherlands. Most members of the Conservative Party went along, even though they winced as they participated in a series of votes leading up to joining.
But a few members were opposed enough to actively resist.
That put John Major in an awkward position, and that is the weakness of a parliamentary system. When Bill Clinton won against President Bush, he split the anti-Bush vote with Ross Perot.
He only got 43% of the popular vote.
But he won 100% of the White House. The entire world knew he would be president for at least 4 years. But in Great Britain, when one party wins only a bare majority of seats in the government, a few members of parliament can topple the entire chessboard. A handful of conservatives took a stand. They were opposed to joining the European Union, period. They would vote against their party, vote against their prime minister, vote against the treaty being renegotiated in Maastricht. The entire affair was called the Maastricht Rebellion. John Major was in a weak position.
He was less popular than Muddy Shoes.
And he had a mathematical problem. The Conservative Party had a wafer-thin majority. 21 out of 651 members. A series of special elections cost conservatives 3 of those seats. That left an 18-vote majority. But 22 members of parliament decided to participate in the rebellion.
Yikes.
The rebels were a swaggering lot. They had enough votes to undermine John Major and pretty much anything he wanted to do.
What was he going to do about it? Resisting them would be political suicide.
So, Prime Minister Major threatened just that. He used his greatest weakness, his below-quicksand standing with the public, to threaten the rebels. If they voted against the European Union, John Major would call a general election.
The Prime Minister can do that in Britain.
And he would lose, big time, along with conservatives across the board, along with the Maastricht rebels. It was the electoral equivalent of a suicide bomber.
Do it my way, or I'll blow us all up and let the Labour Party have the government.
The 22 miscreants caved. The Maastricht Rebellion collapsed, and Britain kind of, sort of, semi-joined the European Union. The political weakness turned to negotiating strength sometimes happens in a slightly different way on the international stage. In 1980, Iran's new insurgent government took over American hostages that had been grabbed by religious fundamentalist students. Iran took a hard line, refusing even to talk to any American. They would negotiate only with intermediaries. They demanded guarantees against American interference in Iran, a reaction against the CIA's installation of the Shah of Iran in the 1950s. Almost $8 billion in Iranian assets had been frozen by the United States and our allies as hostages were taken.
Iran wanted it back, now.
President Carter was in a weak position, and Iranians knew it. Then that position got weaker. Carter lost to Ronald Reagan that November. The American administration played the election loss to their advantage. Through the Algerian embassy, they portrayed President-elect Reagan as a bellicose loose cannon, eager to make Iran glow in the dark for the next 1,000 years. They played up hostile statements by the man who was about to take over America's nuclear arsenal.
I don't think you pay ransom for people who have been kidnapped by barbarians.
Warren Christopher led the American negotiation team, and they played hardball. Iran quickly agreed to establish a fund of $1 billion to pay claims for injuries and losses caused by the crisis. That amount was nearly tripled to $2.9 billion.
And the hostages were released one day before Ronald Reagan became President Ronald Reagan.
Today, Iran and the United States are negotiating again. Iran has been running a nuclear program. The United States does not want Iran to have the bomb. Iran says it wants to sell every drop of oil it has to buyers who are willing to pay a lot for it.
They want nuclear power in Iran to replace the energy from the oil.
President Obama has imposed sanctions that have grown increasingly harsh, and he has ordered major obstacles to Iranian oil sales. There are ways to produce nuclear energy that do not allow for nuclear weapons.
So, an agreement is possible.
If the Iranian government really wants to produce energy for peaceful use, and if the United States wants something other than to punish Iran for the sake of punishment. Iran seems to be moving toward an agreement. One reason has been the prospect of this week's American election. The United States Senate in January will have a majority less interested in a nuclear agreement than in more and harsher sanctions on the barbarians that kidnapped diplomats 34 years ago. Just as John Major did in the 1990s, so President Obama can threaten dire consequences if reasonable demands are not met quickly. Back in 1980, Warren Christopher horrified Iran by telling a wonderful story of a new president who lived on the ragged edge of nuclear madness.
Ronald Reagan was willing to express truthful anger to support that story.
This time, no story is needed. President Obama can simply let the truth speak for itself. When it comes to Iran, more than enough new Senate Republicans are genuinely nuts. This is Burr Deming, along with our virtual fictitious assistant,
that would be me,
at fairandunbalanced.com, in association with Mad Mike's America.